Dr. Vinay Prasad back on the show. We're talking about kids in masks. Dude, there's been a lot. Look, this is one of the most divisive things around. It's one thing to put a mask on grownups, another thing to put a mask on a little cute little wiggler who is apparently absorbing huge amounts of CO2 and is not learning language. And is there a benefit? And you've written about it in MedPage, dude. Enlighten us. Well, help us come up with an answer here.
I got into this because I saw the Twitter exploded last week. I said, what the hell happened? They said they did a mask study on kids and CO2. I said,
Oh, here we go.
So, you know, it's predictable that they did some study. And this study basically is that they had 45 kids, different ages, 6 to, I think, 17, use a mask. And they measured the concentration of CO2, I think, just in the dead space of the mask, the space between the nose and the mask itself. And that was a little bit on the high side and higher than some of their occupational standards. And they said that, you know, this is potentially a risk to kids to wear this mask. Hypercarbia.
What kind of mask were they wearing?
I believe in the study it was surgical masks.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I think they had a couple of masks, actually. But I didn't concern myself too much because you'll see why.
You'll see why
because I realized it was all wasting my time to look into this too much. But then, of course, there were these lengthy rebuttals, you know. It's like, I just read the study on the masks and here's 72 tweets why it sucks, you know. And they went through and, you know, a couple of people had good points. One person's point I thought was particularly good was whenever you wear a mask and you breathe in to take in air, some of that air you breathe is what's in the mask, but most of the air you breathe is what's beyond the mask, getting sucked in through the mask or around the mask and into your lungs. And so the CO2 in your lungs is going to be very different than whatever they find in the mask.
Right.
Other people had qualms about, was it the exhaled breath or inhaled breath, et cetera, et cetera, et
cetera. So it's the equivalent of like a snorkel's dead space.
Yeah.
Like there's always dead space, can be full of CO2, but you're pulling in a lot
of- That's a good analogy. Yeah. And nobody ever snorkels and then all of a sudden they-
Yeah, they just die.
Although I'm
sure now we're going to have a lot of reports. You know, my son-in-law
you never know.
Coded while snorkeling.
Yeah.
Well, he was bitten by a jellyfish straight on the genitals.
And that these mandatory snorkel laws. So you know, I don't know. So that was the lay of the land, and I saw that everyone was all fired up about it. And I guess I wanted to take a big picture look at this, you know, the big picture question is this. You know, should kids wear a mask? And if so, when? And what's the evidence for this kid's wearing mask? And the one thing that first jumps out to you is that there is a difference in global international authorities on this issue. US CDC says if you're 2 or older, mask up if you're indoors in a public space. The WHO is different. WHO says if you're under the age of 5, they don't recommend masking.
Mm.
And if you're between, I think, 6 and 11, they say it depends on the kid if you think that they can manage it appropriately.
Mm.
And I think some of the differences that exist between WHO and CDC. So I guess the clear difference is 2 to 4. CDC says do it, and WHO says don't do it.
Mm.
And I think a lot of daycares take their cues from the US CDC.
Right.
So it has real implications. So what are the reasons you would do it? Well, it's possible that the kid's wearing the cloth mask. And I think for the most part, kids wear cloth masks. I haven't seen that many kids walking around with surgical masks. But I have seen in the store that they're actually manufacturing surgical masks in kids' sizes. But I don't see that many walking around. So it's mostly cloth masks. So the potential benefit if you do is that there might be some reduction in SARS-CoV-2 spread for the children and for people around them. The potential decrements are there might be differences in language acquisition and development, differences in speaking. I don't know, you know, I've worn the mask, but if you try to talk for a long period of time with the mask on, it kind of gets in your mouth. I mean, it starts to migrate. You know, so it has decrements on speech. Potentially there are other decrements involved. And of course, there is some risk, which is below a certain age. And if a child is asleep, there's a suffocation risk, which is why no guidelines say put it on a baby in their crib, right?
Right.
Okay, so there's some things that I think people agree has some common sense. We won't even try it.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, you know, does it work? And if so, when? And the whole point of my essay, one of the first points was that, you know, it's so simplistic to think the answer is yes or no. Why can't the answer be – the answer – I don't know the answer, but the answer might be something like, oh, under some circumstances, yes. So if community transmission is over 100 cases per 100,000, if you're doing it for less than 4 hours, if you're in an indoor closed space with less than 5 people. But maybe at some point if 8 kids are in a room with the teacher in a closed daycare setting and you get to 8 hours or 10 hours, maybe it loses the benefit because by that point all the air that's circulated, you know, in everyone's lungs is all the same air at some point, you know.
Right.
It's all sort of exchanged. Or maybe the answer is that if the case rate is less than 5 in 100,000, it doesn't have a benefit. We all have seen, and maybe the answer is it varies by age. Maybe it doesn't work in 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 or 4 to 5, but it works at some age because we all have seen that young kid walking around the neighborhood and the mask is just snot. You know, right. It's just filled with secretions. And, you know, wearing a wet mask is not pleasant and probably not useful.
It's a face diaper.
It's literally a face diaper.
Yeah.
Which is what I think some people pejoratively call all masks.
A face diaper.
Face diapers.
Exactly.
So I guess the real theme of the essay wasn't that I can answer the question. It's that first I point out that all the people who think they have the answer, they don't because they're relying on really low quality evidence. And there's some retrospective observational study of very low quality comparing schools that mandated kids wear masks versus schools that didn't mandate kids wear masks. So here we're talking typically 6 to 11 kind of age groups or 6 to 17. But the kind of schools that don't mandate the masks and those that do are very different. They have different societal attitudes about how much to take SARS-CoV-2 to heart. You know, in some of these places, they just don't take it seriously in other ways. And that might affect these outcomes.
Huge confounders. Yeah,
exactly. It's just hopelessly confounded.
Yeah.
So I look to see, you know, and then there are, of course, the mechanistic people. They're like, well, you know, the size of the virus is sort of microns and the size of the things is this and it'll be. You know, if you think mechanistic science can answer these questions as to like what you ought to recommend to a group of young children, you haven't studied behavioral science, so you haven't really watched a bunch of kids.
Yeah, like a dummy there with like little fake particles. Like, yeah, that's going to apply to some kid who's like picking his nose while – yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so there's this huge gap between – this is true in all science – between mechanistic science and actual empirical data on what actually works in the real world. And so this piece explores that. And then the final punchline of the piece is that – nobody actually knows. We've gone the entire pandemic, and we don't know if the WHO was right or the CDC was right, and we're not going to know. No one studied it. There's not been a single study that actually looked at this question and randomly assigned classrooms to different masking strategies or different rules and measured transmission in those classrooms. No one even did the experiment. And if you don't do the experiment, you'll never learn. And then the final punchline of the piece was, we look back at the people who survived the plagues of Europe and we think, look at those fools. They didn't know anything about how the virus was transmitted. They didn't know anything about Yersinia pestis, fleas, rats, nothing. They didn't know shit. And we will be looked at by future people as the same dummies. They masked their masked 2-year-old, 3-year-old children in one country. They didn't do it in the other. They never studied it. They have no fucking clue. And they just wasted a year doing this. And I don't know, to me that just, and the people on social media, they're so fucking sure of themselves. They just like the people who know for sure it's decremental and those who know for sure it's beneficial. And they argue about this stupid CO2 study. And some of these people are like tooth and nail arguing that doesn't prove that it's hashtag they're safe, hashtag mask work. You know, you haven't proven that they work. You haven't proven that they're safer than, you know, the alternative. And the same people on the other side who've proven that, you know, who think it's like child abuse. You know, I don't know what to say to those people. It's obviously there is worse forms of abuse than, you know, than this. But I think it's a shame that – I don't know. I'm going on too much about it. But I guess I just want to say one last thing. The people I really get angry with are these people who – many of whom I know are professors and they claim to understand medical evidence. And very early on in the pandemic, they stopped asking the question of can we study masks? And they started tweeting incessantly that we know for sure they work for everybody, for all ages, for 2 and above, in all circumstances, always a cloth mask. Are they out of their fucking minds? I mean, maybe the answer was the person who's cooking our food, they need to be in a ventilated kitchen or wear an N95 because they're in close quarters. The person working in the factory slaughtering the animals that feeding us, maybe they need to wear an N95. Maybe the cloth mask, it certainly doesn't do anything outside. I certainly think that the data's in on that. Nobody thinks it's doing much outside. And maybe it, like when you wear it for these average little household chores, et cetera, who knows what it's doing? No one has studied it. That's so embarrassing. That's so terrible that we didn't study this at all. And everyone is so sure of this without any data that's credible. They have all these retrospective flawed studies, which I could talk about, but they're all flawed.
So why don't you just shut the hell up, Vinay Prasad, and follow the science, all right? Hashtag mask up. No, dude, I mean, I have nothing to add to that. I mean, that's exactly right. That's the rant that I would have given. We've studied it not at all. We're going to look like idiots in retrospect. People have tribalized the whole thing. It's all politicized. Here in the fucking Bay Area, where we don't even have a mask mandate, everybody is still wearing masks outside.
Outside.
And they look at you funny if you don't wear a mask. When you walked in my building, we weren't wearing masks. masks. No. We got funny looks from the person in the lobby. It's a conditioning, a culturalization. It has nothing to do with science. Anyone who says this has to do with something to do with science is off their rocker, honestly.
That's the weaponization of science. I mean, maybe we'll touch on it in the other segment where we talk about vaccines, but some of these issues that used to be, like, you used to be able to talk about whether or not a non-pharmacologic intervention would slow the spread of a respiratory virus. In fact, I remember, because I used to teach a class, and one of the debates I think we did was on non-pharmacologic interventions for influenza. Mm. And we reviewed, I think, some of the meta-analytic work by, what's the name, McAllister or something, on masking. You can't have that conversation anymore. It's so polarized. The moment Trump didn't wear it, the moment the entire academy knew for sure it worked. They knew he's not doing it, must work, and you can't study in a randomized trial. It's a parachute, for fuck's sake. That's what they knew the moment he didn't do it, which is so stupid.
It's the dumbest.
If you tie yourself to someone you think is not very logical, you are just as illogical as they are. Mm. He didn't do it for whatever reasons, you know, maybe, you know, whatever reasons he didn't do it. But that doesn't mean we couldn't study it. And it doesn't mean that it works under every circumstance. And in fact, if I were to put my cards down, I highly doubt that for these extremely low ages, it actually offers net benefit. And I don't doubt that because for any political reason. I just doubt that for the simple reason that, like, when you get below a certain age, executive function is not the same as an adult. Mm-hmm. And how they actually – and real-world usage and compliance is going to diminish greatly. Mm-hmm. And secretions and all the sorts of other things that happen are probably going to dwarf any potential efficacy signal. And the fact that, like, the same kids in these daycares are brought together daily for extended periods of time, maybe 10 hours or more, the little cloth, I just can't imagine an hour 11 – it's doing what it needs to do. You know what I mean? It's got to do the work in hour 11, you know, before they get parents pick them up, you know?
Yeah, so because this transmission can occur at any time.
You're not trying to stop the first 90 minutes. You got to get the whole day to get through. And this thing at the end of the day, I doubt it. You know, is anyone really going to get the other side? They're worried about what is this growing bacteria and someone's
right,
going to
right,
get
right.
I was like, we haven't seen an outbreak of mucormycosis from, right, you know, that's
or
not going to happen.
Or impetigo.
I mean, I think, but some people have gotten a few acne spots.
Right.
Yeah. And I think those of us who lecture or talk a lot and work, you know, it's not as pleasant to talk with. And the other thing is about subjective dyspnea. You know, one thing people always – we're arguing so much about O2 levels and CO2 levels and all these people wasting their time. There is something called subjective shortness of breath. I had to carry a box of books to my fourth floor office.
Totally with a mask.
With the mask on. And I couldn't do it. I was like, fucking this mask. It was like hard. It's subjective. And when they're running the Tour de France right now, they don't make them wear it while they're pedaling up the mountainside. They make them wear it when they're doing their their show conference, which is probably also they're vaccinated. So it's a waste of time.
Of time. And that's the other thing. The bottom line is, look, with kids, they're not great transmission vectors, we think, from the data we've seen.
Yeah,
adults should just be vaccinated. Teachers should just be vaccinated. If they're not vaccinated, should wear a mask, and let's move on. But it'd be nice if we could have studied it.
It's really,
now we can't because the transmission rates in the community are so low. You're not going to get enough numbers to actually show any difference.
You missed your window. Yeah. Jeez. And I think the people to blame are the people who are the most ardent proponents or opponents. The people in the middle who proposed equipoise and wanted to actually do something about it, those voices were squashed in this tribal polar world we live in.
The alt-middle is always marginalized to the alt-side. It's true. Oh, man. Guys, I'm going to link to Vinay's op-ed in MedPage. You know the drill. Subscribe, like, comment. Leave a comment. It juices the algorithm, gets this message out there. I'm going to start really manipulating instead of using clickbait and all that garbage. I'm just going to tell people, look, you want to get a good message out, just do these things, right? Follow us, et cetera. And then if you want to step off the social media treadmill, go to locals.com, sign up for My Tribe there. It's totally off the ad grid. You can subscribe for like $5 a month. And that way I'm in your pocket. Forget about ads. It's a beautiful community where we all kind of have this alt-middle perspective where we discuss things that we disagree about and assume good intent. Who knew? Alt-middle, man. All right, guys, we are out. Peace.